All right, well, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a record about a man named Naaman. He was a Gentile. And this is the record where he got healed of leprosy. So we're just gonna read verse 1 here. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." So he was a great man, he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And ever since the first time I ever heard this verse, I always thought, man, he's just so wonderful. And then it's, but he was a leper. You know, he had some great things going on in his life. A wonderful man. Great things happened because of his work, but he had a major need. He was a leper. And as we know the record, it got worked out where he got ministered to, or got, you know, he got revelation by the man of God, and he got healed. And his skin was like the skin of a baby, it says. It's pretty cool. But he was a leper. And it's kind of, not a parallel, but it reminds me of our fellowship. We have a great fellowship. We are a great fellowship. We are a group of believers who believe in the accuracy of God's word. We take a stand on God's word. God is first in our lives. If there was a choice between something of the world and something of God, we make the choice for God. You know, the things of God. The mystery lives in our fellowship. There's a peace with God in our lives and with each other. You know, Thessalonians says, be at peace with one another. You know, we're not an arguing fellowship with each other. We stand for each other. We have the mercy of God in our lives, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. We're healthy. We're blessed. We are a wonderful fellowship. But there is one thing that's a little lacking that we can grow in, and that is outreach. We're not an outreach fellowship like in times past, where it's not that we don't speak the word. We do speak the word. We speak the word to each other. We speak the word to people around us. But an outreach where, because a fellowship should be growing in all areas that are godly, and outreach is certainly one of them in the word. You can't read the word of God, at least the New Testament, and not bump into outreach. It's all over the place. But we have a great fellowship, but there's an area in our lives as a fellowship that could improve. And I think that could be outreach. So I thought it'd be nice to look at some scripture concerning outreach. And the place to go is the book of Acts. But we're not going to go there yet. We're going to go to Mark chapter 16. But outreach in the sense of reaching out to people with the truth of God's word, so that what it talks about in Timothy, where God's will is that all men get saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, where our hearts are yearning for other people to get that too. That happened to me. Somebody spoke the word of God to me, and I started learning what it said and started applying it, and have been blessed ever since. But had that person said, I'm not going to say anything, eventually God would have got me. You know, I was like, I'm going to get him. But what a joy it is to be able to speak God's word to people. Mark, this is right before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up in verse 14. He's with his disciples, his apostles. And it says, "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The other day was Groundhog's Day. I never found out. Did he ever see his shadow this year? That's always the big thing. If he sees a shadow and doesn't see his shadow.
Which one?
Six more weeks.
Okay. Well, when it said the creature, I was wondering if anybody was right there, ready to witness to
the creature.
Well, anyway. verse 16. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's what they did. Now we're going to go to Acts. We're going to look at the same record, but in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts 1. We're just going to look at some records in Acts. It's all over the place as far as preaching of the word and a desire to witness to people. Verse 8 of chapter 1. It's the same thing what we just read. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And as the book of Acts progresses, we see that's what they did. They just started speaking God's word. Acts chapter 2, of course, the beginning of it's the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit on the 12 apostles first. They spoke in tongues, and it caused somewhat of a ruckus as to what was going on to the people that were present in the temple. And in verse 14, Peter, it says, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then, as you know, he goes through quite a bit of different things concerning the Old Testament, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, things about the Spirit of God. And in the conclusion, in verse 38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, which is a lot of people. If it was three people, it would be wonderful. But it happened to be 3,000. How did those 3,000 hear the word of God? Peter stood up and spoke. That's how they got added. Had he not spoken the word of God, they would have all still been wondering, what the heck were those guys saying? But he stood up and spoke. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 12. So, this is chapter 3, the beginning of it. Peter and John going to the temple to pray and, you know, to look for people who want to know God's word. It's a logical place to go. And they heal that man that was lame, couldn't walk since his birth. And in verse 12, after people were wondering and seeing this guy jumping up and down, pretty excited, they knew he was lame. Verse 12, it says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." He spoke God's word to them. Then in chapter 4, he continues to speak, and then the Sadducees are not too excited about what he's doing. He's getting a little resistance here. Chapter 4, verse 1. Says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. How did they get added to the Lord? Because the word was being spoken. Somebody heard it. Some of them didn't believe it, but there were about 5,000 that did. We'd have a little problem if all of a sudden we had 5,000 coming to fellowship next week. Remember that guy I mentioned when we went down to Tennessee, the preacher?
Ryman.
Sam. Sam the preacher.
Sam Jones.
Samuel Jones? Yeah, I think it is Jones. Right. And he spoke the word to a guy named Ryman, who built the theater. But that guy, he didn't know what we know as far as heaven and a lot of things about the relationship of getting a son of God with God. But he sure had a love for God. He understood the Lord Jesus Christ. But he got thousands of people coming to this tent. Now, what they did with it after, I don't know, but he got them to listen and say, "Oh, I'm going to give this guy a listen." So it has happened since then as far as big numbers hearing the word of God and believing. Verse 5, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, by what means have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, You rulers of Jerusalem, the rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and by the people, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Just incredible. "This is the stone which was set at naught by of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." He had pretty good proof. What are they going to say about that? Verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them," talking about the believers there, "called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people." If it wasn't for the people, they would have tried to beat the crap out of them. "For all men glorified God for that which was done." So here they are. You know, these people got added to the Lord because there were these men speaking the greatness of God's word. verse 29, they go back with the believers and they pray. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They're doing what they were commanded to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest durst not... No man joined himself to him, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Then came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. You know, the believers were, or people were being added to the Lord, as it says in verse 14, because they were speaking the word. They were sowing seeds of the word of God. And some people were rejecting it. Obviously, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were rejecting it. But there were a lot of people who weren't. And we were all at that point one point. Sometime, somewhere in our past, somebody said something that concerned the truth of God's word. And we said, I believe that. Now, maybe we didn't say that the first time we heard it. I don't know. You know what happened to your own life. Some people, they like say no, 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 no. And then one day they say, okay, I believe it. This was very reproving to me once. Years ago, we were in Mexico with Jeff and Deborah, and we were at this beach place for 2 weeks, which I think was the first time we ever had a two-week vacation. And we literally were on the beach 12 days out of the 14, which was really like just unbelievable that we just sat. Sat on the beach and went swimming and sat on the beach and went swimming. But there was this, they have these people that come by, they sell jewelry and they sell these different things. And they're kind, you know, they don't pester you. But every day, several times a day, they walk by and they go to the same people. And sometimes I wonder, do they have a memory? We just said no 2 hours ago. But there's this one guy, he had these pottery things. Mostly everybody was selling stuff that was small. He's got these big pottery things. And every day he came by several times a day and said, you know, tried to display them and tried to sell them. Every time we just graciously said, no, we're not interested. And there was something about the guy. There was something... He edgy about him, like weird, like he had something wrong with him, a devilish thing. It was like creepy. And every day we said, no, 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 no. And I was like, boy, this guy is just one persistent fellow. And then I think it was the last day, all of a sudden he was different. It was like he was clean. Because we had been teaching and sharing the word with different people that were floating by. And he was a whole different guy. And all of a sudden, God said, buy something. And we did. We bought something. And I thought, holy smokes, the guy, whatever it is, it affected him. And we came home with whatever it was. I don't remember. But it taught me about persistence. I mean, here, we laughed after a while. I was like, he must have no memory. Well, we certainly don't mark anything in his brain like, oh, I've seen these guys before. But anyway, you just never know. You know, sometimes somebody needs to hear the word 25 times before they say, yeah, I think you're right. Who knows? But it all happened to us, or happened to all of us. So that's why we're here.
we finally said yes. We went to chapter 5. Did we... Okay. Sorry, I got a little mixed up here. We're going to continue with verse 21. The angel had told them in verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and assembled the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. You know, the angel of the Lord got them out of jail, and they were speaking the word. They were getting resistance, but why didn't they stop? Well, they had seen and knew of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew their God. They knew that God wanted them to speak. They knew the truth, and that there wasn't enough resistance to stop them from speaking the truth. They were going to speak the truth. And there has to be something in their brain when they woke up in the morning. There was something that in their decision making that said, I'm going to reach out with God's word today. I'm going to speak the word to somebody. It was had to be, because it doesn't happen on its own. A lot of things that don't happen on their own. We've all raised children. It doesn't happen on its own. You know, you have to teach and instruct kids, right? You know, Katie's going through that now. And teach and instruct. It doesn't happen on its own. They don't clean up their room on their own. But they woke up with and decided in their thinking somewhere along the line that day that they were going to. But it was a decision. And, you know, outreach doesn't happen on its own. A lot of things don't. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It always starts with a decision. Chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Those are just wonderful things. And that's happened to us all. I mean, before we got in God's word, we weren't worshiping the one true God and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. I didn't even know who he was. But what an impact that Paul and company had on those believers. And what a joy it is to be able to lead somebody from idols, serving whatever it is. Some stuff is disgusting and some stuff is acceptable in this day and time. But there, anything that we worship that's not the one true God is idolatry, whatever it is. Is idolatry. And they went from idolatry to the one true God. And what a privilege it is to be a part of that. Really amazing. And lastly, we're going back to Acts.
it is really a privilege for us to be able to speak for God. You know, we're laborers together with Him, it talks about in Corinthians. But it takes a decision on our part. And I just think that we really are at a point where it'd be great to continue to reach out. I mean, we've all been involved with reaching out. Not that we're not reaching out at all. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I just think that I know for my life I can grow in it. There are many days I never think about, you know, seeing if I can speak the word to somebody and help. I mean, days go by. And for me, I don't know, that disturbing in my own heart. There's a verse in chapter 2 when Peter was after the receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and he's speaking the word to them. And in verse 36, it's just something that really helps us when we're speaking the word to people. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And he did speak with, you know, the word by what God directed him to speak. I mean, there are a lot of things he could have said after that event. And, you know, it's most likely that God was working in him. I mean, he was very reproving to him, you know, the guys who you crucified. I mean, it wasn't like he was beating around and trying to skirt around. He went right to the jugular with these people. But look in verse 37. And this is how we want to be with others who, I mean, not only ourselves with each other, but with other people who don't know the truth of God's word. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He so reached into their heart with God's word that they went, "What do I do?" You know, they wanted to change. "What do I do?" And then he led them into the new birth. As Rube says, there were more than 12 that spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. You know, of that 3,000, was it about 3,000? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, probably they all spoke in tongues. Who knows? We don't say, but chances of a lot of them having spoken in tongues, great chance. But he preached the word to a point he pricked their heart. So it's like preach to prick. And, you know, you're reaching in. I always marvel at Terry, because Terry, in my mind, has a great ability to kind of reach into your heart and fix it up with God's word if it needs it. And she just can prick the word in your heart. And that's what we can do with people. Like Susan and I went out for a big date last night. We went and bought shoes and stuff. Well, we went out to dinner first. So
that's because we had a gift card.
But anyway, I told her, you know, just being with you is just so much fun no matter what we're doing, even if it's buying shoes for me. The first store we went in, we bought a lot of shoes. We had so many shoes. That was a couple quarts left. But anyway, the cashier was helping us. We had a couple questions. She was helping us, and I noticed she had a cross, you know, on her neck. So when she was ringing up, I brought notice to the cross. You know, I said, "Oh, you must be a Christian," and I thought it would be an open door to get in there. But she was like, "Psh." So I said, "All right, well," but I tried. You know, I normally would just have bought the shoes, but I was pricked in my heart. I want to see if I can, you know, tap into something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in high school dating this girl, and turns out her older brother, who was in college, had just taken Power for My Living. And when he came home for the holidays, I was there. He never said a word to me. Nothing. Never brought up anything. A year later, I go to college myself and get witness to first day, and I'm in the Word. I go home, I witness to my old girlfriend, and she says, my brother took that class. So I called him up, and he, you know, I invited him to come to a class we were going to do, and he goes, yeah, I think I should take that class again. But I thought, why didn't he say something to me? You know, did just never know. When somebody is just begging for the word to be spoken to them, I don't know, just never know. But here's the key. We preach to the point we prick their heart. Now that guy, Sam Jones, must have been quite a prick. Pricker. Because he was able to get so many people to at least give it a listen. And to a point where they wanted to change. And he challenged them to change. That was his whole ministry, rebuking sin to get somebody that's going this direction for the devil and turn around and go that way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't understand, like I said, what we know. But boy, he was able to help people. And those that heeded to it couldn't have been hurt. They, you know, start to live a godly life. How bad could that be? But he must have reached into that person's heart sitting there and said, to a point that this one guy, Ryman, spent almost his entire fortune to build a theater so he could teach the word. It must have pricked his heart, you know, to change it. So anyway, we are an incredible fellowship. I think anybody that comes to our fellowship gets blessed, gets healed, gets delivered, gets their needs met. We don't want to hog it to ourselves. So, but anyway, it's just part of living life. And it's what God wants for our lives, for sure.